Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I have a lot to share tonight, but one of the things the Lord stirred in my heart to start with is the danger. We're talking about face to face, all right? Beholding Jesus face to face. Are we together? So I've been questioned several times by people like pastor and people outside my scope of influence, that is church here. And a lot of times I'm baffled at the challenges, just that I'm used to it right now, so I don't really get baffled, but a little bit baffled by the challenges people face. Not really financial challenges and all of those stuff. I mean, people face within the faith, all right? More like struggles and etc. Are we together? I'm quite baffled. And while I was thinking, I remembered many years ago, as we're pressing in the Lord and trying to know the Lord, you know, I always tell leaders, I said, you people are blessed. I said, the reason why you are blessed is because while some of us were growing up, we didn't really have this privilege some of you have. What is the privilege? In the early 2000, probably, the revelation of God's word was not this common. You know, people were more religious, speaking respectfully. They were more religious than truly spiritual. You know, sometimes you can be religious but not spiritual. For instance, see what Paul says about a very religious community. Let's see Romans 10 and 1. I want everybody to read. A very religious community. Can we read together? Everyone, one to go. Brethren, my heart's desire. Alright, so you see, Paul is like, he's praying for Israel, who had all the practices from time past. You know, Moses, Abraham, and etc. The people who started with Jacob. Are we together? The covenant was enacted with Jacob when he wrestled with an angel of the Lord, right? And the Bible said his name would not be called Jacob anymore, but what? Israel. Now, after time passed, they had an encounter, no lie, alright, that metamorphosed their name. In fact, God gave them their name. There was no naming ceremony. God gave them their name. Yet, it came to a point that they were very religious, and they began to negate God himself. Are we together? The Bible speaking, Jesus said, I came to my own, and even my own received me not. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is not church. It's sounding like mocks. Hallelujah to Jesus. Please. No sober reflection. And laugh. Life is not that serious. Some people are burning their face. Too much. What are you looking for? Hallelujah. Can you turn to your neighbor and just touch neighbor on the cheek, everybody? And say, smile, Jesus. Just say, smile, Jesus loves you. There's nothing there. Hi. You know, the way people get unnecessarily serious, even God is surprised. But I would say, where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom, there's liberty. People are not like this. People are like this. Even Jesus, when he resurrected, people were praying soberly. He entered there, he shouted. He said, all hail! He shouted. You know, people are worshipping Jesus and they are wondering if Jesus liked noise, you know. And yes, Jesus in scripture shouting everywhere. Are we together? So for several years, these folks called Israel, who were God covenant people in the Old Testament, had been practicing something which was actually a valid institution in their time. I mean, they had encounters that validated their practices and etc. Down till Jesus came. Now, they never knew that whatever they were practicing was supposed to stand until the coming of the Messiah. Because they were only shadows, types and what? Shadows. Pointing to Christ in the future. Are we together? But look at what the devil did. The devil is very cunning and wise. Now, instead of Satan coming and obviously telling them, now, obviously displaying himself, you know, I always say Satan does not come as obvious wrong. You know what I mean by that? He will not come obviously as a devil so that you catch him. He's very cunning. He will come in a way that will be difficult for you to catch him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, when he came to Eve, he didn't tell Eve I'm against God. He said, yeah, you will not truly die. He accepted the fact that Eve will die. But he said, you will not truly die. He said, what God meant that you'll be dead is that your eyes will be what? Open. Hallelujah to Jesus. Have you seen people who their eyes have been opened in this world before? From 14 and 15 years. Now, they think they know life more than anybody. In our vernacular terms, we call it your eye don't tear. They think they know life more than anybody. When you try to advise the Gen Z folks, they think you are being stupid. They are the one even trying to change Christianity now. Even their gospel song, they want it to have a touch of Bonaboy. Everything, they want it different. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They just want their own. You know, they never understanding that what has happened to them is that their eyes have opened, meaning they are dead. That was what happened. Adam said, your eyes will, I mean, Satan said, your eyes, you will not truly die. Oh. Meaning he agreed with God to an extent. So what is discernment? Discernment is not the ability to know the difference between wrong and right, I mean an obvious wrong. It is the ability to know the difference between right and almost right. Right and almost right. Satan will not come as obvious wrongs. He will come as what? Almost right. Now, almost right is not right. Jesus said, if the light in you be darkness. You see that? Meaning Satan is in the business of making sure that when you misunderstand something, then he strengthens that misunderstanding in your heart such that that misunderstanding you have becomes your own light. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It begins then, that misunderstanding you have, or that lie in your heart, that falsehood in your heart, which you are now thinking as the originality of light, of light and of life, begins to fight the true light when it comes. That's why when Jesus came, he called himself true light, because there had been many lights in the world. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? There had been religious light. Alright? You know, the proof to know, he said something, he gave us a way to test things in scriptures. He said, by their fruits you shall what? Know them. The proof to know that you truly don't understand God is that you may be practicing religion, denying the power thereof, and seeing yourself living in a way that doesn't please God. Now, Jesus speaking, he said, these people, he quoted Isaiah, he said, they worship me with their mouth, but their hearts are what? Far away. I mean, there are people in choir who Davido is their idol, but they are choir masters and choir mistresses in church. You see? Now, they can worship God. Now, I'm not trying to condemn them. I'm trying to show them the state of what religion has done to them. Religion will make you feel as if you are okay with God. Meanwhile, you are not okay with God. It just makes you comfortable. That's the danger of falsehood. Is that if the light in you be darkness? I mean, there are people in church, you tell them listening to such a song is wrong, and they question you. They say, who told you that? They will ask, have you met people like that that question what you are telling them? How can you say this song is wrong? How can you say that movie is wrong? How can you say this dress is wrong? Where is it written in the Bible? I mean, I've met somebody who told me, where is it written that we shouldn't smoke in their hem? That is Igbo. He said, if you show me where God said it in the Bible, I will stop it today. Now, there was no place, because, you know, I always joke and say, some of the sin, I think, is surprising even God. Because there is no way God would just stay, people I'm trying to say, and write that thou shalt not smoke Igbo. He didn't know that Nigerians were going to create something called Igbo one day from the beautiful leaves he's creating in the world for people to just, you know what I'm trying to say? It's not like Igbo is not meant for something good. Let me not call it Igbo. It's not that that leaf is not meant for something good. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? You know, there was one hair cream I bought, and my barber jokingly said, "Pastor, this hair cream has Igbo inside." So I said, "Igbo?" He said, "No, I don't want it." He said, "But it works very well, though. It's the best." So I said, "Okay." Every time I come, I'm tempted to say, "Give me that hair cream." So one day I came, I said, "Give me that hair cream." He said, "Which hair cream?" I said, "The one that has Igbo inside. Since it works." Because now, you know, it is meant for something different. But people are now what? Taking it on their inside. It's not meant to be consumed. That's why when you consume it, it kills you. It shortens your lifespan. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? You know, have you had people that try to justify Igbo? They tell you, "I get fat when I take Igbo. I get healthier when I take Igbo." There is nothing in this life people will not justify if they do it. Even drinking. Do you know, some of you will be surprised if we tell you that there's no part of the Bible that says drink and not be drunk. But a lot of people have quoted it. They say the Bible say. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. A drunkard is drinking, and some in our year the Bible says drink and not be drunk. He'll just cram that scripture. He doesn't know the part of the Bible that says it, because it's not even in the Bible. But he just crams it. After all, the Bible say drink and not be. Tell them, open it. There's no part of the Bible that says that. Somebody say, "But Jesus turned water to wine." Now the news is everywhere. Jesus turned water to wine. And what do they mean by that wine? And they mean alcohol. Did the Bible say Jesus turned water to gula? No. And you have to do study. You know, I've done that several times, but let me just do it. Probably somebody will be delivered tonight. That wine in their days, the one that is like shekpe of our days, is called buzu. Buzu. Buzu is the present day shekpe. Buzu is the present day zazu. Buzu. Buzu is the present day ogoguru. Or Captain Jack. It's amazing how all of you know these things. That's buzu, the present day buzu. And listen to the culture. Their culture entails that normally, when they go to an occasion, they will take the good wine. Then when parents are going back home and children have come back home, the elders will remain and talk some things with the bad wine. The bad wine is the one that has experienced what? Mm-hmm. And it has the possibility of turning your eye, dirtying your eye will dirty. It will stir your eye, yes. And you start saying crazy things. That one that they will take and pursue children and mothers to go back home. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Go and check the culture. Read about the culture. You don't just read scriptures and follow the culture, their culture. Now Jesus came and he turned the culture upside down. Instead of taking bad wine at the end, they gave them good wine in the beginning, the one that has not been fermented. So when they took it, they said, we go to occasions. People give us, firstly, they said the wine is very good. Very good. May not fermented. Go and check if you think I'm lying. It's not buzu. Then they now said, other occasions, they give us the bad one at the end. But yeah, are they giving us the good one? I mean, they give us, how did they even say it, sir? Good one, then bad one at the end, right? Bad one first, then good one, or whatsoever. But you understand what I'm trying to say, the way the Bible said it, interchangeably. A equals to AB, B equals to... just see it in chemistry terms. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. You see, Jesus turned the culture upside down. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's not in the Bible that you should drink and not be drunk. Medicine says alcohol has the potency of destroying your system. There are doctors to be in this place, they can affirm it. Hallelujah to Jesus. It causes several sicknesses. One of them is intestinal scrubatis. It weighs off your intestine. So why are you taking something that destroys you? You know, so I told the young man many years ago, I said the devil has come but to what? To what? And to what? The Bible did not tell us that we always get a yes or no answer in scriptures. But the Bible says rightly divide the word of truth. Meaning sometimes we get an answer in scripture by doing mathematics. So if you look at it carefully now, anything that steals from you is from who? Anything that kills you is from who? And anything that destroys you is from who? It can never be from God. So you see why smoking Igbo is from the devil? Because it destroys your word system. And the devil doesn't care about you. He just wants you destroyed. He doesn't care about your life. It is God that has come to give life and life in abundance. Are you here tonight? Very important. Glory to God forevermore. So you see, the devil always appears as an angel of light. That was captured in 2 Corinthians, I think. The Bible said the devil himself appears as an angel of light. Because he truly wants to get us. Can you give me that scripture, media? It said the devil himself appears as an angel of light. Now when you give me that, check the one in Galatians that says, even if it be an angel, comes and tell you another thing outside scripture, he said, tell the angel to get out. He said, curse the angel. Now give me the first one that says the devil himself, alright? And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into what? An angel of light. Are you seeing that? He transforms himself into, because he wants to lie to us. He's the father of all lies. Are you people seeing that Satan is really, he really means business? He wants you to take what is a lie and believe that what is a lie is the truth. Hey, are you guys here tonight? Very important. That is why right now we are in a world where people are agitating whether it is right for a man and a man to marry. Because Satan wants to appear as an angel of light. I mean, people who wear suits in a meeting and they are dialoguing whether it is right. You know, I was watching some news on Facebook. Right now, in the football world, they are forcing people to wear a band that supports LGBT. And if you don't wear it, there's a penalty for you. You can imagine what is happening in the world. So you can't afford to be a cold Christian. Are you listening to me? We must take over every system of the world. Are you listening to me? Every system of the world. Imagine they are telling you that you must sponsor a belief system. Forcing you. Because they know that you can't refuse. Why? You have been paid a huge amount of money. One collected it. He now wrote, I love Jesus. They now put a penalty on his head for writing, I love Jesus on it. You see why you shouldn't joke? You must be on fire for the Lord. Because Satan really means what? Business. He's into systems. And you know why it seems like he's prevailing? Because he has some folks who are in high positions. That's why when we tell you to read well in BSU or UniAgri or any of your universities, it's not just something carnal. When you read well, you become the HOD. When you make the first class, you have the possibility of becoming the next VC. Then you can make sure the right thing is done. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So it's more like a kingdom agenda. When we say become the best in your field, we're not just trying to tell you to achieve early success. No. If you become the best engineer, probably you may become the minister of whatsoever they call them. Works and housing or whatsoever. And you will make sure the right thing is what? Done. Have a son in the faith in the military. By God's grace. And he was just telling me what was happening in their system. How wicked and corrupt the system can be. And how that they posted him somewhere. And immediately they posted him, people, different paramilitary started coming to see him. He felt like they were greeting him, but they were coming to actually renew the contract they had with the initial person who was in charge. What was the contract? Whenever they are passing with their illegal things, they pay the initial person and he gets a lot of money. So they felt like everybody's like that. Immediately he came, they came. So he was asking the soldiers, what do these people want? He said, they want to dialogue with you, sir. The initial person was dialoguing with them. So before you pass, sometimes 5 million, 10 million, 15 million. And even somebody of his same tribe came to him, was speaking the tribe so that he would just adjust. And I remember what he said one time, somebody who was a paramilitary from his tribe came to him and was speaking his tribe, thinking he has an upper hand because they are of the same tribe. And he said to one of the soldiers, tell that guy if he finished saying that those jargons, he should get out from here. I was so proud to hear things like that. And when he left, he showed me the message. They said, they wrote on the group that we hope that your legacy continues, sir. Thank you. Imagine things like this. And you are wondering, Nigeria is bad. Oh, the president only, you know, yeah, the president has his fault in it. I believe that. But you see, the Bible says righteousness, what? He said, but sin is a what? In other words, the reason why Nigeria is having a lot of problems is because the righteous are few. People that truly stand for righteousness are few. And even if they are many, then they are not in high positions. Are you guys here with me tonight? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, the devil really means business. He means business. He means business. He wants to make sure God's people see what is wrong as right. I mean, when we're in school, malpractice is hardly seen as a wrong thing. Even amidst Christians. So you can say a tongue-speaking believer turning his head 360 in an exam hall. And after he's done, on Friday is the one leading prayer. It happens. They don't want to even hear, in fact, they don't like the topic. Don't bring the topic. Because to them, even God understands. That's what the devil wants. Nobody will truly believe your gospel if they see you doing the same thing they do. They wouldn't. If you're still in exams like everybody, how are you the light of the world? Or you are the light of the world till it comes to exams? Many years ago, I heard this statement that changed my life. That the dullest brain is better than the best computer. And I said to myself, I will never fail again in my life. Do you know the dream of computer? The highest level of the dream of computer is that they behave like human beings. That's the dream of computer. This is what artificial intelligence is driving towards. To making sure that computer, machines, behave like human beings. If the dream of computer is that they behave like human beings, that means everything you have seen in any computer before, the characteristic was gotten from what? A human being. In other words, a human being is far better than a computer. You know, if you don't believe it, you will not see it. I can tell you, I can retain more than 2,000 words in my head. Because I believe I can. Why? I've read about myself that I can do that. When I was in secondary school, before I really became born again, something was happening. When they see mistakenly see past questions, you know, when they throw them, some teachers are not careful, they will throw past questions in the rough use. So students will go and carry it. And when they see that it's the exams, they will come and give it to me to read the answers. Because they believe I can cram almost everything. So I crammed the whole answers. In fact, there was one we did for CRS. Imagine you cheat for CRS. I crammed everything and I crammed all the accounts. You know how it is in CRS, right? All the accounts according to Dibla, I crammed all with the full stop and comma. I knew where it was. The woman said it's unbelievable. Instead of 60 over 60, she said 59 over 60. She can't give me 60 over 60. So she changed it to just 59. I said, why, ma? She said, you can't have 60 over 60. It's not possible. Meanwhile, I crammed. In the university, some of my friends come to me and say, you are seeing it now. We know you are seeing the picture. You are seeing the image. You know, one of the man came and said, we should cram any example, 2-3 examples that they will come out, that is giving us an expo. We will set it ourselves an answer. When he said that, I said, sure A or sure B or sure C, anyone. You know, mass people like to just cross to the other side. And I crammed all of the exercise. Coincidentally, some of the questions were part of the exercise. I was just screenshotting, you know, I was just pasting, you know, you copy and you are pasting. It was the hardest mass in computer science. And people were amazed. But I read before that the dullest brain is better than what? Best computer. So I can't afford to cheat. See, today I earn respect from people who, you know, wonder. I remember one of these guys that really respect me today. Many years ago, when an exam, I said that here before. He was so respectful and nice to me that when he saw that the exam was tough, he thought it wise to help his pastor in the exam hall. And he wrote all the answers. He ticked everything. Ticked, very good math student. When he was done, then he started passing it from where he was down. It was a slanty, you know, that ETM hall. Slanty. He was passing it up carefully till it got to my desk. And when I did my hands like this, they said, Suzu person. So he now raised his hands and touched his chest. Abi. He now did his hand like this. Still, with respect and honor, he's giving me the truth. And what a respectful, you honor your man of God, who you choose. So I said to him, and I started passing. So the people that were holding it were very embarrassed. They were scared of being caught. They were just throwing it. Till he got back to me, he looked at me, I said, don't worry. When we finished the exam, one day this week, second day, he looked for me in class. He came. He said, now I fear and respect you. I said, why? He said, because I was so shocked when I went back home. Who would they give chokes that I would not receive in mass class and pass? And I was grateful to God. Guess what? I failed that course. You know, maybe you people did not hear this. I failed the course. I had a carryover in the course. I now came again and wrote it. I think I had an A when I wrote it again. See, I gloriously failed it. Now, ask yourself, if you have cheated in your life from school till you graduated, how is your life now? Because you see, you thought that it was these things that will make you rich in life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Successful in life. That's why you were cheating. How far right now? Well, listen, in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. I say your sins are forgiven. But you don't want it to, as you shout amen, your sins are forgiven. That's a number of people that have done it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, just a few scriptures. Is that be diligent? Okay. Let's see 1 Timothy 4:15-16. So you've seen the fact that the devil appears as an angel of light a lot of times, isn't it? What is the goal of all of this? To make sure people take lies, assume lies for truth. That people assume lies for what? Because if the light in you is actually darkness, then your darkness is very great. That's what Jesus said. He said, if the light in you be darkness, he said, how great is that darkness? Meaning somebody who had not known God before is better than somebody who has a wrong knowledge of God. Let me say it again. Somebody who had not known God before is better than somebody who has a wrong knowledge of God. And that was the problem of the Pharisees. They had a wrong knowledge of what? God. So they were worse than the Gentiles. If you observe, the Gentiles received Jesus more, received their healing more than the Pharisees. The Pharisees were questioning everything Jesus was doing. Jesus was even frustrated by their questions. The Bible says sometimes he replied their question with another question. I always tell people Jesus was the first Nigerian. He replied their questions with another question. Sometimes he was mad at them. He left them like that. He didn't answer them. Hallelujah to Jesus. They just wanted one thing, to make sure Jesus was down. They wanted to destroy Jesus. That was their only ambition. Because they felt like they knew where he came from. Are you listening to me? They knew that his father was a carpenter. How the hell will a young man who we saw growing in the temple, because Jesus was coming to church. Are you people here tonight? He was coming to church. Imagine Jesus coming to church. And when he goes, he said, this church will be destroyed. And my father will build another one. Who is your father? You know, some of us, when we look at the stories, we are saying, Pharisees are wicked people. They killed Jesus. Very wicked set of people. Listen carefully. If Jesus came in this time in Nigeria, some of us will be waiting for him with stones in our areas to hit his head. Look at the kind of thing he said. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will build it up again. He didn't even care to explain the light of it. Then he walked away. It was the 12 that were talking among themselves. How can somebody destroy temple in 3 days? Something that took over 40 years to arrange properly. Then he said to them, I speak about my body. He said, I have taken your body of sins, your body of shame. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm destroying the body, because the body of sin and the body of shame was why God could not dwell in the hearts of men. You see, why God wants to make, why God has made our bodies temples in the New Testament is because God always wanted our body to be his temple from the Old Testament. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because he's the Lord God that changed not. What he wants today was what he wanted yesterday. So you see, the reason why God couldn't dwell in men was because of the body of sin, by the disobedience of man. And that's why Jesus took upon himself the nature and that body of sin. Are you people listening to me tonight? What did he do? Romans 6, he said, he hung it back on the tree. Hung it back on the tree. Let's read it in Romans 6, in the Amplified Rendition. He said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. Our old man, our human nature without the Holy Spirit was what? Nailed to the cross with him. You see that? Capital letter H, Jesus Christ. In order that our body of sin might be what? Done away with. So that we will no longer be slaves to sin. You see that? He destroyed the old body of sin. Hallelujah. But how do I have a new body? By faith in Jesus' works. Just believe you have a new body, then you have a new body. Is it that easy? Is that easy? You can't destroy your old body and put a new one. You just have faith that Jesus has taken the old one and is giving you a new one. That's what the Bible says. It said, no, we know that our old, we know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we will no longer be what? Slaves to sin. Now see verse 7. It then says, for the person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin. You see that? So he took away that body of sin, and right now he has given us a new body. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you believe that? Romans 8 and 11. He says so. He said, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. You see that? Your body has received another life, a new life, a higher life. Say, I have a higher life in Christ. So your body now functions by a higher life and a higher law and a higher nature. You know, Paul said something in Romans 7. He said, when I want to do what is right, I find another law in my members, the members of my body, pushing me to do what is wrong. Then he now found out, he explained the reason more in chapter 8. He said, it is because to be carnally minded produces sin and so death. He said, but when somebody is spiritually minded, it is life and peace. What does it mean to be carnally minded? To see yourself as an ordinary person. To see yourself as a mere man. To see yourself just as a Nigerian, as a thief, just like that. If it stops there, you're an ordinary person. And so the Bible said you have to sin and so die. You are condemned to death already by Satan if you are carnally minded. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Meaning, don't, and how do you get carnally minded? Listen to it. Carnally minded. Meaning in your mind, you see yourself as a carnal person. Carnal does not mean sinner yet. Carnal means seeing yourself as flesh and blood. Relating yourself from the perspective of your flesh, the lenses of your flesh. That was death. Adam said, I am naked. What it means is that Adam began to saw his tripartite being from the lenses of the flesh. Because his makeup is spirit, soul, and what? Body. But he began to disguise himself from the lenses of the flesh. That was the fall. And that was death. How do we know that again? What the scripture just said, to be carnally minded is death. So how did Adam die? By becoming carnally minded. That was how he died. He said, but to be spiritually minded. Meaning God is saying that you are a spirit in a body. Say amen to that. You are a spirit what? In a body. You are not a body. That's why if your spirit leaves, your body decays. Are you listening to me? Meanwhile, if you look at it vividly, God wants your body and spirit and soul to function together, not independent of each other, for eternity. I mean, if Jesus comes, we will have bodies. And the dead in Christ shall be the first to put on their flesh. You see, what God wanted in the beginning is what will happen in the end. In the beginning, God wanted Adam to live with his spirit, soul, and body for eternity. There was not supposed to be a day that his body and spirit would be separated. I hope you know God never planned a day to put Adam 6 feet under the ground. It was the disobedience of man that made sure man is now going 6 feet under the ground. The Bible said the last enemy that shall be conquered or destroyed is what? Death. There will be a time where there is no death again in the parousia. In the coming of the Christ. Nobody will need to die. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So death is not a surety. Listen, the Bible did not even promise that everybody would die. It said we shall not all die. It said, but we shall all be changed. The promise is for everybody is a change. Meaning there are some here that may not die. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? When the parousia comes, when the second coming happens right now, you all will not die, but you all will be changed. So are you saying that death is not a promise for everybody? What is a surety for everybody? A change. Are you people here tonight? Are you understanding me tonight? Glory to God forevermore. So you have a new body. And so in the New Testament, Jesus trying to explain that to them, the 12, he said, I took your body of sin. Hebrews 10:5, he said, a body God prepared for me when I was coming into this world. So that body, in that body, he took our sin, our shame, and whatsoever. It is the old body of sin. And he hung it back to the tree and resurrected with a new, fresh body. Not new, fresh body in the sense that the scars of the old body was not on it. No. So that when we're teaching you now, you don't think that because you have the scars from your former life on your body, then your body is not new. No. When he resurrected, he said, look at my hands. Is that not the spot of the nail? Check my legs. Can't you see it? But the Bible still called his body a new body. So you may see the scars, but the scars from the former life does not have an effect on you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And that's why the Bible says, oh death, where is thy sting? Glory to God forevermore. Are you here tonight? Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, you see, the Pharisees had a terrible problem with Jesus. A very terrible problem. They didn't like the fact that he was coming to talk down their traditions. Please, follow a little bit, will soon be done. Talk down their practices, and etc. How will you come and say Moses, what Moses told you is supposed to stop now? Remember, the Bible said all of their tradition was supposed to continue until the coming of the Christ. Yes, so imagine you have been practicing something for years and they say, no, it's time for it to stop. It will be difficult. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible said that in Hebrews 9 and 8 from 8. Let's see Hebrews 9 from 8 in the Amplified Rendition still. It says, Hebrews 9 from verse 8, by this Holy Spirit signified that the way into the holy place, the true holy of holies and the presence of God has not yet been what? Disclosed. As long as the first or outer tabernacle is still standing. Now, it's not rightly rendered. Give me in the NKJV. It says, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Why the first tabernacle? What was the first tabernacle? The tabernacle in the days of Moses was still standing. As long as it was still standing, it was an indication that the way into the holiest of all had not yet been revealed. Next part of scripture. It then says, it was symbolic. The old tabernacle was symbolic for the present time, which both gifts and sacrifices are what? Offered. Which cannot make him who even performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. You see that? It was symbolic. So, I said there were types and shadows. The originality is in the New Testament. Are we together? Yes, sir. Next part of scripture. In verse 10, it then says, concerned only. So, that old practice was concerned only with what? Food, kinds of food to eat, drinks, and various religious washing of the eye, feet, getting a mask, sprinkling, whatsoever, and fleshy ordinances imposed until the time of what? Reformation. The time of Reformation. In the Amplified Rendition, they will now put in bracket when Christ comes or when Christ came. Because the Bible said, give me that part of scripture, is it Galatians 4:4, Ephesians 4, it said Christ is the end of every Judaistic practice. He was the end of the law. Or he is the end of the law. Because as long as Christ has been made manifest, we will stop practicing all of those things in the Old Testament. For instance, they killed a lamb every once in a year to show how that their sins were atoned for. Are we together? But when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sins of the world." So now that Jesus has come, nobody needs to kill a lamb. Now don't just leave it on lambs, alright? Continue with all of the religious practices. They were not just killing lambs. They were doing all kinds of washings. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So now that Jesus has come, if anybody be in Christ, he does not need his body to be washed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because Jesus is likened to living waters. He said, "I am the living waters." So when you get into a living water, you don't need any dead water to wash your feet. Because if anybody gets into this living water, it's a new creation. All things are what? Gone. Why did he have to use water? It was symbolic, pointing to Christ. And that is why when Jesus came, the ministry of John ended. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? John the Baptist had to end his ministry because the real deal is here. Whatever John was doing, we thought it was to the end that sins should be removed. But when he saw Jesus, what did he say? "Behold, the Lamb of God." It looks like there's a conflict. I thought John was removing sin. But when he saw Jesus, he said, "Jesus is the one to take away sin." You see? Jesus ended the ministry of who? John the Baptist. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Why am I saying all of these things? You see, in the Old Testament, right? Something happened. The angel of the Lord gave them a decorum for how the temple should be. And he warned them to build according to the pattern. Lord, help me to see the scripture. He said they should build according to the pattern. Exodus 25:40. Okay, give me from verse 9. Give me verse 9 first. Everybody, I want us to read. Want to go? It shall be made it. Verse 9, 25:9. Let's read together. "According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishing, just so you shall make it." Now God is saying you must make it according. Give me the Amplified so that it makes a lot of sense reading it. The Amplified rendition. Everybody read. "You shall construct in it accordance with as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture." So you see, the angel of the Lord was telling Moses to make sure that he construct the tabernacle according to everything that's been said to him. Now this brings to mind something. Alright? That the idea of heaven is that things must be done according to the pattern. That if you misunderstand something, it can cost you your life. Get me, follow me carefully. When I say cost you your life, I'm not saying God is going to kill anybody. That's not what I mean. But you see, whenever you misunderstand something, you are actually in error. Alright? And if you're in error, Satan smells error like blood. Let me put it like that. You know the way you take tapeworms and you tie it to a hook and put it in the river, and by that you are able to draw fishes out from the river. Alright, when you are fishing. That's how it happens with the devil. When he smells lies, he comes. Lies pave a way. Lies open the gate, the door for Satan to come into your life. That's what lies do. And that's why you don't joke with lies. Because anytime you have a lie in your life, prevailing in your life, Satan gets to enter into your life. Isn't it amazing how that the devil was able to, through religious people, make sure that Jesus was crucified? They were the one that shouted, "Crucify him." How can somebody be in church, be practicing church, and be saying, "Kill a man"? Even if the man was against them, why will you say they should kill the man? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But because religiosity, finding its way in their life through the lies in their heart, paved the way for Satan to enter their life. You see, they started with just wrong practices, but they didn't know that they paved the way for Satan to come into their life. See, then at the end, Satan started speaking through them. They were saying they should kill Jesus and that his blood be upon them and their what? Children. You can imagine. That's why sometimes you can find very religious, wicked people. Religiosity is why we'll be in a church and people are practicing witchcraft in the church. I've seen it. While I was growing up, People were going to receive communion. I saw a woman going with her back in the spirit. Now people were seeing her walk like this. She was in the spirit. I saw her walking like this. And the pastor gave her. That's the funniest part. He didn't see it. And I told somebody, I said, look at that woman. She's going with her back. I said, what are you saying? Simon, keep your mouth shut. Because at that point, I'd encountered the Lord. And the reason I was even coming there was because my mom would drag me by the hand and say, I must follow her to our church. So I would go and just sit down. I'd be watching things in the spirit, seeing things in the spirit. I'd be wondering, why are these things happening in such a holy atmosphere? Now, I'm not trying to mock them. That's not what I'm trying to do. But that's what religion can do. It can cause an atmosphere that even Satan will be excited in it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Religiosity is why people can be coming to church. They'll pray all the prayers. Then on youth day, they'll throw a party in the hall. That's what religiosity can produce. I'd come out from such a people. I used to be in such a people before. We were in church, all of a sudden we heard it was youth day. When we came to youth day, boys and girls were holding themselves and drinking alcohol in the hall. And on Saturday they came to confess their sins and they received Jesus on Sunday. That's what religiosity can produce. Now, as I'm saying now, if you are pained, you are a religious person. And the only reason why you are pained is because Satan has become the Lord of your life. It's the truth. You may tear yourself into pieces, but you can't deny the truth. Because there is no way God can tabernacle in such a place. It's not possible. In the New Testament, the temple of the Holy Spirit is not some building. Jesus destroyed the old body because the old body was not capacitated because of sin. So he destroyed it. And when he was destroying it, he said he likened the old body for a physical temple. He said the reason why this physical temple is existing is because this old body of sin is still sin. So I've taken this old body of sin, and as I destroy it, this building should be destroyed. Because the new temple is not buildings. The new temple is your bodies. Now he produced a new body for us when he resurrected. And the Bible said, he then said, through Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, he said, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. So bodies are the new temple, not buildings. And that's why we don't go to a part of church and bow our heads, because the glory of God is not in any part of the church, cannot be kept or situated in any part of the church. The glory of God is on our inside. The Bible speaks about the mystery that has been hidden in ages past. What is that mystery? Christ in us, the hope of glory. The hope of glory is not in any part of church building. It's in you. I like the fact I'm not getting the email. We are breaking the stronghold of religiosity. I told you I heard a lot of complaints. People will come and tell me they are addicted after several years. You know, the problem is what you are listening to. I was telling somebody, I said, the Bible said, it said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of God's word. Meaning, come to a point that you are finding yourself struggling. Go back according to the pattern. You are missing something. There's a difference between I'm already blessed, and so I'm walking into my blessing in manifestation. And there's another one is, God bless me. It's a huge difference. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? In Christ, we are not trying to be blessed. In Christ, we are blessed. It's a huge difference. It can cause you not to receive something in the realm of the spirit. You must build according to the pattern. Are you people listening to me tonight? It's a huge difference to say, I am righteous and walking in the act of holiness. It's a huge difference to now say, Lord, help me to be holy. When you say, Lord, help me to be holy, you are agreeing that you are not holy. You are not righteous. And the Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you are not trying to get righteous. You are righteous. And because of your righteous nature, you are walking in holiness. It's a huge difference. So if you are trying to get holy by your act or be affirmed or confirmed holy by God by your act of holiness, you've missed the point. And that's why a lot of time I like to correct this part of scripture in the book of Hebrews that says, it says, without holiness. Firstly, we're speaking about good living and right living. It said, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Then he said, without holiness, which no one will see the Lord. It has been wrongly interpreted for years. And it has caused a lot of people, they are walking with the Holy Spirit. You see, your relationship with God is not something you in. It is something you have by your new nature, by the result of the, as a consequence of your new nature in Christ Jesus. The day you became born again, you have a relationship with God. What you build every day is fellowship by the Holy Spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There is nothing you can ever do as a born again Christian that will change that nature of your born again spirit. Are you listening to me? But if you don't build fellowship, you'll find yourself doing things you ought not to do. Are you people understanding me tonight? Are you getting me tonight? Very important. So I like to always break that scripture properly, because if you misunderstand it, it will cost you your work. Is the truth. The Bible did not say we will see God one day because we live in holiness. That's not it. Try to get it for me, media. You know, Hebrews what? Let's read it together. Hebrews 12:14. Continually pursue peace with everyone and sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Continually. Now, give me the NKJV, literal translation. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. The context of this scripture, if you had read before now, was talking about holy living, acts of holiness. Are we together? So Paul was emphasizing the fact that it is not enough to be a Christian. You have to act like a Christian. And one of the things he now said before this part of scripture in the B part is that you should even live in peace with everybody. That if you don't live in peace with everybody, people will not see God through your life. Does it make sense? So let your light so shine before men, so that when men see your good works, they what? So it is your living right and living in peace with everybody that will cause people to see God. Because if you quarrel with everybody, nobody will see God through your life. Why? God is supposed to be revealed through your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is through your life or through you that people will see the glory of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Because in the New Testament, we have seen God. Oh my God. It's a powerful truth. A lot of people, they talk down these things. You know, I heard a man preaching this morning. I was so pained in my spirit. Little wonder Paul will say what he said in scripture. Let me show you what Paul said somewhere in scripture. It said, people that preach falsehood must be silent. We don't silence them by abusing them. We silence them by speaking the truth of God in a very beautiful manner. Let me show you. See what Paul the apostle said in let's start with Titus 1:13. No, okay, Titus 1:11. Give me 11. Everybody, we should read 11 first. One to go. Whose mouth must be stopped? Who suffered? Let's see in the Amplified rendition. Read from verse 10. For there are many rebellious men who are empty talkers. Just at what? And what? Especially those of the circumcision. You see, they were not people outside the church. They are those of a contrary belief in the church. Those of the circumcision, the same people that fought Jesus were the one fighting Paul. Now, you will wonder, those people that fought Jesus, they are not in our days. They are. What is their mindset? Their mindset is that righteousness is by works. They emphasize works than grace. They don't want you to look like Jesus did everything. They want you to understand that they added to what Jesus did. That is why they are who they are. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Very important. They like to feel like the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees like to feel bigger in the temple. Jesus came and scattered all of their ranks. They feel that they have ranks. You know, Jesus came, people were hyping them until Jesus came, he called them hypocrites. He said, if you want to pray, close your doors. Because instead of praying in their closure, they will open the door and be praying, and people will be watching them, you know, praying, and people will be like, whoa, you know how to pray, brother? Jesus said, close your door, hypocrites. And they were angry. He said, enter inside your houses and pray. Imagine you are walking and people just stay on the streets and they are praying. They are praying. It's not church. It's not like they have houses but they are praying on the street. Jesus said, he saw their heart. He said, you people are hypocrites. Today people will pray and post on Facebook that they prayed. Meaning, if Jesus was in our days, he would have insulted more people today. And brag about prayer. I heard somebody say it's by sweating. If you don't sweat, you have not started praying. You can imagine. He said, for there are many rebellious men who are empty talkers just like whimpers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Those Jews who insist that Gentiles believers must be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. You see that? Righteousness by works. There's something you need to do to attain God. Keep the law. Our own prescription today may be different, but it's the same mentality. There's something you must do. There's some somebody say if you have not prayed 25 hours, you are just a donkey, you are just whatever in the spirit. You have not started working with God. All of those statements are very crazy statements. What of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? Next part of scripture. It then says they must be silenced. Because they are upsetting world families by teaching things they should not teach for the purpose of dishonest financial gain. And that part of scripture said, is that because they are distorting people from the faith. You know, when you think that it is praying 20 hours that keep you burning for God, there's a problem. Because the day you are not able to pray that 20 hours, you will think you are not strong in God. Listen, I know what I'm telling you. There are a lot of people addicted to pornography and masturbation. A lot of people in the faith. Because they've been taught righteousness by works. For many years. I've observed something. I was talking to my friend. I say, I've observed that many people who are not Christians, or many Christians today before they were Christians, were not even addicted. They felt like that was their life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They won't say they were addicted. Until they became Christian, they don't say, I'm addicted. Because when they entered into Christendom, they started hearing addiction. Addiction is one of our vocabularies. We are shouting it. You come to the church, you want to preach, you start saying, let's pray against the spirit of addiction. If anybody is addicted, come on. They hear addiction. They went to check what is addiction. They found that it means so-so and so-so and so. So they had to now choose their own. Somehow they became victim of what they've been hearing. I was teaching a young man and I wanted to say something. The Holy Spirit said, don't say it. Because he was addicted to something. So I wanted to say one of the concepts. When he asked me to help him teach him the word of God, I wanted to start teaching. I said, and this thing you are doing is wrong. Do you know if you even continue this thing and you marry, the Holy Ghost will keep your mouth shut? He said, because if you say that thing, it will impart fear. He said, just teach him what you need to teach him and leave him like that. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you listening to me? So such mentality is making a lot of people think that they cannot be Christians. Somebody come to church, he's hearing a young man who has been watching, following God over the years, giving a testimony. I want to thank God. The sister nearly failed me, but I fall and I can't run. Praise the Lord. It's 20 years now. I nearly fell into immorality, but somehow, fire. And the one that has not even entered the faith. His life is jagwala. He's wondering, if I start 1 year, can I survive this one 20 years? 20 years in the faith, he's saying, they are gathering Christians who are 20 years in the faith. They are dealing with the spirit of lust. Somebody says, Pastor, you don't teach sin in your church too much. You don't teach sin. Why? Sin is not supposed to be taught. It's righteousness that should be taught. Because righteousness is who you are. It's a powerful truth. I cannot market the devil. I don't market Satan. And somebody come here and say, the devil is so powerful. How is the devil powerful? He has been stripped of all his ability. You are an antichrist. That's what Jesus said. That the devil has been stripped of all his ability. Not some. But the Bible says he has given us power over the power of the enemy. Yes, he gave us power over the power of the enemy before he resurrected. But when he resurrected in Matthew 28, he said, now all power and authority has been given me in the heavens and on the earth. He said, go and make disciples, no restriction. In Hebrews 2:14, he said, the one that had power, had H-A-D, Satan had power. He said the one that had power over death, the devil, has been destroyed. He had power. He does not have power. Are you listening to me? Now, you're going to live your life with a consciousness that the devil has no power. That's how you walk in glory. You don't live your life with a mentality that Satan has power. Because if you think Satan has power, you try to arrange your life in a way that his power will not touch you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You see somebody wake up in the morning, in the name of Jesus, every force against my life. No, there is no force that can stand against your life and win. It's even a useless effort. Because on Christ, the Bible said the gate of hell will not prevail. You are not the one that is supposed to be pushing them early in the morning. The Bible said as long as you're on Christ, they will be trying to push you and you don't even notice it because you're on Christ. You don't notice it. That's what the Bible said. It said in Luke 6, it said a foolish builder, he doesn't dig the ground to build his house, he builds it upon sinking sand. Then he said when the flood of life comes, it will hit the building and get it destroyed because it was built on sinking sand. It said but the wise builder digs the ground. He digs the ground. That's why we're digging the word this morning. He digs the ground and he builds his house where? On a rock. Is it so that when the flood of life comes against him, he is standing firm, not because he prayed too much, but because he's on the rock. He's on the rock. Am I displacing the place of prayer? No way. No way. If you really understand the word, you'll be a praying person. You'll be a praying person. I told one of my friends one day, I said, God knows that 24 hours is for productivity and spirituality. God will not tell you to pray 24 hours. Because he knows that you have to be productive in your world. And it involves you praying and you studying several materials. When God told Adam, be fruitful and multiply. You think Adam was supposed to be praying 24 hours to be fruitful and multiply? Everything that was in Eden was supposed to be replicated to the ends of the earth. And it's not only prayer that will make sure that becomes a reality. In other words, God is saying that we have to think and understand the universe. That's what God was telling Adam. When it comes to spirituality, you pray. But understand the universe. Extend this beauty you are seeing in Eden to every part of the earth. That means Adam would have become a good engineer. Are you people getting on track this way? Adam would have become a good... Think about any field. He would have become very good in it. Because he's going to extend whatever was in Eden to the part of the earth. To the uttermost part of the earth. Now, where is the problem? The problem is when you are only carnally minded and not spiritually minded. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but bread involved. You have to live by the word of God and by food. And if we must live by the word of God and by food, we have to be productive in the spirit and productive in the physical. That means we have to really engage the systems and ideologies and practices that will make sure we are glorious spiritually and glorious physically. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Why am I saying this? So that you know that part of your devotion to God is that you become the best student in your class. Part of your devotion to God is that you become the best person in that your place of work. The best lawyer, the best engineer. That's part of your devotion to God. Because when you become the best, God will now be able to use you when you are in charge. Imagine you are the HOD of your department. Which lecturer will sleep with another lady so that she will have an A? You will not allow that rubbish happen because you are the HOD. Imagine you are the VC of a school. Do you know why sometimes you report to HODs and they cannot do anything? They are all victims of the same circumstance. They all know the dirty things they've done before. So they cannot bring anybody to the outside. But not you, because you are on the rock. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Are you here tonight? Even in the business field, you are glorious. You are glorious. You are glorious. I mean, whose face will you not be able to stand when you have stood the face of God? The Bible says, with open face, we behold the glory of God. And we are transformed. You know, the glory of God like a mirror. He said, we are transformed from the glory of the old into the glory of the new. That is what Moses could not see in the Old Testament. I'm going to break that in the second service more. He couldn't see it in the Old Testament. He couldn't see it. You know, somebody said, but Samuel, the scripture says, blah, blah, blah. One scripture and we pray. Just one of it. Are you ready? One scripture just to explain everything with it. It says in oh my goodness, I think I made a mistake. But I'm going to see it in the name of Jesus. Judges 6:22. Yes. Judges 6:21. I just wrote the scripture, but I didn't write the... The angel of the Lord put on the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out from the rock, consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of the of his sight. Next part of scripture. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. Listen, see their mentality. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." I have seen what? You know what he's trying to say? Now, we're trying to hit the scripture where it seems as if men spoke to God face to face. In the Old Testament, when they see an angel, they relate with the angel as if the angel was a god. Then another part of scripture in Genesis 32:30, where Jacob had wrestled with an angel. He wrestled with an angel. And the Bible said at the end of it, he said, "I'll call this place Peniel. Indeed, I have seen God face to face." That's what he said. Genesis 32:30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. He said, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved." Another version says spared. In Deuteronomy 5:24, very fast. All right, just leave that. Give me Galatians 3:19. It said, "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of what? Till what? The seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through what? By the hand of what?" Now answer this question. Who gave the law? One more time. Who gave the law? Exodus 23:20, very fast. We have to capture it in the first service so that it makes a lot of sense. Exodus 23:20. Don't worry, you'll be convinced. Are we there? Let's read. One to go. Behold. Exodus 23:20, not 30. One to go. "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have ordered." Next part of scripture. "Beware of him and obey. Do not what? For he will not what? For I have what? For my name, my authority is in." Next part of scripture. Read, one to go. See how the angel was speaking like God. To make it clearer, Judges 2:1. Judges 2:1. See the impetus. One to go. "Then the angel of the Lord came up from what? And said, I led you." Who led them? Is it an angel that led them truly? Other scriptures say God led them. Now we are seeing the Bible said, the angel is speaking. He said, I. He said, "I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers." See the angel speaking like he was God. "And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." Now, before now, what did the Bible tell us? Say, an angel will what? Lead them. And now the angel is saying, speaking like he was God. Because in the Old Testament, they understood that God cannot be seen, and the only way they can interface God is through the ministry of an angel. So when you hear scripture that say Moses spoke to God face to face like a man would speak to his friend, they meant that Moses spoke to an angel face to face. How did I know that? In a part of scripture, Moses said, "Show me your face, show me your glory." Who knows that part of scripture? Let me see whether you know the Bible in this church. Exodus what? Who will win this prize? Should I say it? 1, 2, 3. It's over. Exodus 10:3-18. Nobody want the money. Can we read together? Next part of scripture. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Next part of scripture. But he said, you cannot see my face. And Moses spoke to God face to face. Why is God saying you can't see my face? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because now he actually demanded something huge. So when we say face to face, you must understand from scriptures and the style of writing that they meant for an angel. Are we together? And that's why Paul had the impetus to speak to us in Acts of the Apostles chapter 7 from verse 53. See what he said. We had actually read Galatians 3:19 that said laws that were given by angel. Acts 7:53 affirms it. It says, cameraman, a little bit. It says, who have received the law by the direction of what? Angels, and have not kept it. You see that? In Hebrews 2:2, we saw it again. It said, for since the message spoken through angels was what? Binding, and every violation and disobedience received its what? Just punishment. See that? But the New Testament, as we close, open to the book of 2 Corinthians 3:18. Moses could not see. He was a giant of faith, bless him. But the Bible says he couldn't see. He couldn't see. Are you here tonight? I want to show you how big you are. So that when you are done from this place, you will stop thinking like a mema. You stop thinking like an Edoma, Ibibio man alone. You start adding it with kingdom mentality. Are you listening to me? So that when you go out, you don't expect yourself to sin. Say, I don't expect myself to sin. Now say with so much impetus, to say, I don't expect myself to and if you were very, very careful saying this, it is because you have been playing religion for years. Religion can never aid you to say things like this. Religion will only tell you that you are dust and to dust you shall return. Religion will only tell you that you are a useless sinner. Religion will tell you you are nothing but a pencil in the hand of the Creator. But true Christianity says we are seated together with Christ far above. We are not pencils in the hand of the Creator. We are sons in the hand, seated together with Christ of the Creator. Are you listening to me? We are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We are not weak beings. True Christianity will say to the weak, say, I'm strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, religion will tell you that this world is useless and is all junk and your riches is in heaven. True Christianity will tell you the earth is the Lord's, its fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell. It's not the devil's earth, it's the Lord's earth. And the righteous will inherit the earth. Satan does not own this world. So religion will tell you, take the world and give me Jesus. True Christianity will say, we'll dominate the world. And the kingdom of the world have become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ, and we shall reign on the earth forever. We reign and we rule. That's why we're becoming innovative. I mean, we have people who are going to beat Elon Musk very soon in this place. Listen, the earth, you're going to be here for a long time. And even if you graduate to heaven for a while, you come back and live here all your life. So be productive. Stop saying we are living, we're part, this world is like a marketplace. Listen, it's no marketplace. It's your place. It was actually designed for you to live forever. It was sin that made you to graduate to heaven for a while. But listen, you're not going to be in heaven for a long time. You're just going to be there for a while. Are you listening to me? Heaven is a place of waiting. The earth was designed for you. Heaven is full of angels. It's not designed for you. You are not going there to become one of the angels. The Bible says heaven is my throne, meaning where God sits down is heaven. And all of His protocols, the angels are around there. You don't need to sit down and serve tables. The sons were supposed to inherit the earth. to which of the son has he ever said, sit at my right hand? Are you listening to me? Heaven is where I sit. The earth extends as where I keep my leg. So the influence of my dominion is beyond the heavens, or from the heavens to the whole part of the earth. That's why if you're on the earth, you are still part of heaven. The Bible says, of whom all the family in heaven and on earth is named. So we bear the same son name with people in heaven. You can't tell me I'm not part of the family because I'm in Lagos and you are in Benue State. I am still part of the family in a different location. Are you here tonight? But we all unveil face, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, have been transformed into the same image from glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We've seen the glory of God. Oh, that Jesus is big. It's big. It's big. While I was thinking of this, my whole body was filled with the Holy Spirit. I felt like I was in a chilled fridge early this morning when I was studying the Word. He said, but we all with unveiled face, beholding us in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. And a question came to my heart. What is the glory of the Lord? What is the glory? Oh, Hebrews 1. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Various ways, through angels, whatsoever, to the fathers by the prophet. Various manners he spoke. You get what I'm trying to say? In the Old Testament, the Bible said, but in the New Testament, verse 2, in the New Testament, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Meaning that God is done speaking in Christ Jesus. I don't need an angel to make it more clear. Are you listening to me? I didn't need nobody to make it more clear. The Bible said, knowing Christ, you cannot be tossed to and fro by deceitful ideologies from man's wisdom. Because we have entered into the more sure word of prophecy. We have seen what has been written. And anything God is saying must have a connection with what has been written. If it doesn't have a connection, even if it be an angel, Paul said, from heaven that comes and said, God said, do what is not in the Bible. We tell him, get out in the name of Jesus. You see why? We are the most beautiful being in the realm of the Spirit. We have seen all the whole counsel of God. So no angel can come to us and tell us, you know, God said you should do this. And when we check the Bible and say, angel, I don't think you know what you are saying. Get out, go back to the devil. The proof that you are not from God is that you said this. An angel came and he gave you some chaplet and he said you should pray it. A woman came from the realm of the Spirit. She gave you a thing. She said, pray these things. Pray it. You look at the Bible and say, where is it written that we should hold something and move it and say, we are sinners? I mean, I'm going to say with so much boldness. Where is it written in the Bible that we should confess 10 times, confess and tell ourselves, where is it in the Bible? If it's not in the Bible, hey woman, you are not from God. Get out! Oh, there, Jesus. It's not in the Bible. Get out! Oh, for many years, many people have been subjected. Why? Believing a lie. Well, I've seen people on sickbed. Oh, I went to see a woman. I was supposed to pray for this woman. She had a terrible sickness. And I said, could she allow me to lay my hands on her? She said, no. I'm with my chaplain. And I said to my wife, tell this woman I want to lay hands on her head and get these demons out from my body so that she will leave. She said, no, I believe what I'm doing. I went out almost crying. She died the next day. She died the next day. A devil deceived many people years ago and it has affected her life. God doesn't want you dead on a sick bed. I see books today, how to die a happy death. Nobody dies a happy death. Nobody dies a happy death. It's from the pit of hell. Oh, there, Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, people don't like truth. Now, as we're saying this, some people are saying, in my life, I'll never come there. No problem. You can go to hell. It's the truth. I was not sent to speak to your to what you like. I was sent to speak the truth of God's word. This is my call. The truth is that if you check your Bible, if you find out I'm right, why is it difficult to believe what I'm saying? Is there any document in this world that validates the claim of God and the Bible? Nothing. So why is any document more important than the Bible? No counsel in this world is more important than the counsel of heaven, where God is the judge. We can have God and the 24 elders decide something, and you will come to the end and say some folks sat there somewhere and they say decided that Christians should behave like, who the hell are they? Are you here tonight? For this reason, many are perishing, many are dying, not discerning the Lord's body, because they don't understand the scriptures. Many are perishing, many are dying, many are decaying in sin. It's not a shame that one time we hear that somebody who is a pastor or a reverend or a priest is now a gay. Do you know we're hearing things like that today? In vain they worship me because they take as doctrine the teachings of men. So Satan will creep in. Yesterday the Lord was telling me, I watched something on Facebook. The Lord said, this is how the devil is a creeper. He creeps. That's why he used a serpent. He creeps. Little by little, he will come. He will try something. He will say, gospel artists, dye your hair. They will die. We will pursue them. We will not allow them. Now they are dying hair. It's not prevailing in the church. Everybody is prevailing. Everybody is dying hair. They don't graduate. He said, gospel artists who are men, put on earrings. We will pursue them for a while. We will not say grace covers. We will say come back. He creeps. A lot of young people now will grow up. Look at it. They like it. Gospel artists now dye their hair and put on earrings. He's creeping little by little. He likes to creep. You allow him, he creeps even deeper. We're in a point that we don't know who is a gospel artist and who is a Christian worldly artist right now. The dressing, the behavior. That's what happens when you allow wrong doctrines. When you pave the way for Satan to be creeping. To be creeping. Whoever tell us that a day will come where we'll look at the Bible and because of what is written in a book, say the Bible is not important. Are you listening to me tonight? Many people are suffering because of errors. See, be bold about your faith. Many years ago, I was sharing with somebody yesterday night. I said, many years ago, I was crying in my room. I was crying because I didn't like the kind of Christian that I was. I loved the Lord with the whole of my heart, yet I had some things I was struggling with. And so when I started crying and playing my keyboard, I wanted to be a sincere Christian. I can't come and be singing, you know, and when I'm done singing, another law is working in my members. I don't want to be a hypocrite. So while I was crying, the Lord invaded me with the word Christ. I remember, I was so shocked when the Lord told me, delete every sermon on your phone. Not because they were all bad people. He said, I want to teach you the word of God. I remember how I took the Bible and the first thing I saw was Matthew 6:16-18. That's why I always quote it. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. When Peter said, you are the Christ, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. He said, then the gates of hell will never prevail. I said, wow, the gate of hell will never? It will never? And I said, why? He showed me, because you're on Christ. Now, my only responsibility is to make sure I'm on Christ. Then his responsibility is to make sure that the gate of hell will never prevail. I have no business thinking of the gate of hell. Or as long as I'm on Christ, forget about the gate of hell. They have no chance. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? My first encounter was hearing God literally tell me, see yourself like Christ. I will never forget. He spoke to me literally. He said, always see yourself. Now, if I want to make sure that glory is in my life, I will try to understand the Christ very well. So that when I understand the Christ very well and I see myself like Christ, the glory will radiate through my life. And that's what I'm doing tonight. That's your freedom. If anybody be in Christ, it's a new creation. Pastor, I've been a Christian for a long time. Have you been in Christ for a long time? It's not about being a Christian. Do you know Christ for this long time? Your victory is not in the four corners of a church for 20 years now. Your victory is knowing the Christ for 20 years. Just knowing the Christ, sorry, not a function of time. You don't change by time, you change with light. As a man thinketh in his, what changes you is a new thinking. Not time spent in a place. So today when you hear the word of the Lord, the Bible says, harden not your heart. Be on your feet and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Lift up your voice and pray. Pray, Lord, cause my eye to see even deeper in this revelation. Cause me to understand you even deeper. Go ahead and pray. I heard this song in the spirit. Go ahead and pray. Everywhere, everywhere. He's changing everything. In obedience to Christ. Changing everything. In obedience to Christ. Changing everything. In obedience to Christ. Go ahead and pray everywhere. Go ahead and pray. That's what he's doing tonight. Close your eyes if to help you to concentrate. Pray in the spirit. Reorganizing everything. The glory of God is mighty in this place. Reorganizing everything in this place in obedience to Christ. Changing everything. Woo! Lift your voice. Changing everything. You are changing everything. Changing everything. Changing everything. Changing everything. It's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Living God. It's the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the King. It's the Holy Ghost, Seal of the age, changing everything. And I'm a son of the day, my kind of day, the better You are changing everything in this place in obedience to Christ. You are changing everything in obedience to Christ. Aya. Changing everything. Yeah,
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you, yeah. You have opened my eyes. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you guide me nothing, you guide me nothing. You guide me in all things. You guide me in all things. Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. The Lord say fresh grace. Fresh grace. Fresh grace. Your music comes more alive. Your fire comes more alive. Better than before. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you again. Freshness of grace. The grace of God is made alive in your hearts. Some of you experience something you have never experienced before. The freshness of the Spirit. Like a refreshing. Some of you feel like you're in a deep freezer. A deep freezer. It's a refreshing. Pour out your Spirit on every heart. You sent forth your word, and it's come to change what our fathers and mothers could only foretaste. It's now the time. The author of death. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Receive all that the Lord wants for you tonight. Receive it tonight. Receive it. For some of you, the Lord is sharing the freshness of God's grace on your inside. You're feeling more awakened. It's as if something is rising for work. It's rising for work. It's rising for work. For mightier works. I can sense it so mildly. I may not be able to touch everybody, but it's rising from your inside. You just feel you can do bigger things. You just feel you can be better. Thank you. freshness from the Holy Spirit. Let it come mighty, mighty, mighty on everyone, on everyone, on everyone. Some of you, you are standing to your call. Your eyes are open to see even deeper things in God. I say prophetic grace on your, a strong prophetic grace. Let your eyes receive that fire. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are strange things happening tonight. Oh, rabagabababababa. I sense an evangelical grace on her life. There's an evangelical grace on your life. I saw you lifting the banner of the Lord. You lifted the banner of the Lord. You lifted the banner of the Lord. Let it start finding expression. A strong evangelical grace. A strong evangelical grace. You will talk nations to Jesus. You will talk nations. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, because beyond those that you touch specially, you touch everybody. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we know our lives can never remain the same. And Lord, this marks the beginning of greatness. In the name of Jesus, and the people of God shout a mighty amen.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.